It's the Dougie Show. Yeah. Come on. I hear way too many people snoring right now, and they shouldn't be sleeping. Wake your ass up. You already know what time it is. It's the world's greatest show. Will we keep it 100? Y'all know his name, yeah. Y'all know his name. Oh yeah, that's right, his name is Dougie. The one and only. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show. Y'all know his name, yeah. Y'all know his name. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show.
Hey yo, check it out. You're listening to the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show. Recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. Now here's your host, keeping it real, Dougie Almeida.
I always giggle when I hear that comment. Oh, keeping it real. Good morning. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm sitting by myself. I have a guest I want to announce today on the show, but in the meantime, waiting to have Lenny Travis join us. But in the last day or so, since Wednesday, I've got to meet our guest today, who's been nothing but a hoot. Can I say fucking hoot?
I guess.
All right. Tom Dustin's in the studio.
I am. I'm in Danger Studios over in Coral Springs.
Yeah. Nice little place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's everything I wanted out of a podcast studio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, furnishing. You want to make it feel right. You know what I mean?
It feels great. You know what? What makes me feel great is all the pictures of all the comics you have on the wall. I know all of these guys. They're all doing better than me.
Really? Even that guy? I pointed at me for the record. Pointed out my cop. See that photo on that stand-up guy show for me and my buddy Lenny, who's going to be joining us, and a fellow Bostonian, Perry Sack.
I don't know Perry.
He's unless you lived in Florida, he has a tour that goes from Miami to Palm Beach. You know what I mean? He kind of keeps it, you know, real. He keeps it real.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's funny as fuck. He won the Mardi Gras Comedy Challenge, won $5,000.
No shit.
In 2013, I think it was.
We can say shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lenny Travis guy looks like a fucking W whatever fighter, whatever they call it, the yeah, MMA. Yeah. W. There's no W in it, right?
No, MMA, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
If he had a record, it'd be, I'm O and O.
He's scary as shit looking.
Yeah, he's different now. He's married. He's all domesticated. You know, much like I feel. You know, when we met, I picked you up at the airport. We kind of hung out in the neighborhood. I live in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And you're like, is that a fucking duck?
Is that a duck? That is what I said.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was a duck.
It was a fucking duck.
And you know, again, you just came from 14 feet of snow.
Yeah, the ducks have flown down here for the winter.
He looked at you and went, hey.
I actually know that duck.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you finally made it. But it's an interesting, which made me think of a bit. Because, you know, especially the room, you know, Tavolino's, a wise guy show, which we did last night, did a great job. Everybody did good. Pedro Lima, you know, headline, funny show.
Where's Tavolino's?
That's where we supposedly went, you know, based on time-lapse photography.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I get how this works now.
Yeah.
Sorry. I fucked it up.
Well, we kind of give it away on the in the beginning when, you know, Hiram says, you know, recorded live on tape. That's kind of, you know.
Oh, all right. I never watched Laverne and Shirley, so anybody, I don't know what that means.
Shamazza. Yeah. So it brought me to the story about the ducks. And I told you about how the Jack Russell attacked a duck one night.
Yeah, injuring the duck.
Maimed the duck.
Maimed.
The duck was like flopping around, and you know.
Like a duck might do.
Right. But you looked at it and you went, is that duck all right? Is that a normal duck flop?
So you just covered it in barbecue sauce and called it a night?
My wife was very interested. She's like, I got some sauce. I have a sauce. I have good duck.
Oh, wait. Yeah, your wife is Asian.
Yeah.
Ah, you could almost get a Peking duck out of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife, I heard the blades in the kitchen.
Oh, man.
Take the fish off the grill.
Asian lady wants to make duck. I'm listening.
My wife's an awesome cook. I mean, I'm at the point, you know, and she's, you know, since we've met, she's developed the skill to, like, make Italian food and Mediterranean food and different. It's not just to the...
You know, it's Most of the food's not that hard to fucking make.
Right.
Like, I think Asian food's the most interesting.
Right. Yeah. You have to know certain skills. It's like
here's pasta. Here's some sauce. Yeah. Here you go. That's Italian food.
When you make something at home, what's your choice of sauce?
I mix it up. Lately, I've been doing a red wine reduction.
Really?
No. Of
You've
course
got time
not.
On your
no,
hands.
No, I do fucking easy mac and cheese.
Right. So you don't really make anything Italian ever? You ever said I'm going to have a chicken parm?
No, yeah, I make stuff at home. I'm not, I don't know what the fuck I'm making. Right. I just throw a bunch of shit in a pan.
I don't know if it's tomato sauce or ketchup.
Yeah, nah, I'm not, you know what, I'm great at chili. I can make a great chili. Man. And no, a lot of Italian. I can make chicken parm and I can make all that shit.
Yeah, and so if you're going to use...
My mother's Italian.
Yeah, you ever use prego, ragu?
No.
You make your own sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So I have done it both ways. I have done it both ways.
Yeah.
Right. And I have taken store-bought sauce and spiced it up with my own ingredients.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
When you have a little less time to do it.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for listening to The Cooking Show with Duck.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have a duck parmesan.
We're changing the name of the show to Dougie and the Duck.
Hey, well, listen to the show today. What happened? All these two dudes talking about a parmesan duck. What?
Duck parmesan. They don't make that.
That's a fucking dish.
Fucking, I think it's walking out on your front lawn right now.
Yeah. Grab my gun. You know, last night, talking about stuff, my Jack Russell attacked the possum last night. I let
Jesus,
him out.
This thing's got some anger issues.
Dude,
you got to get that Mexican guy to talk to it. Wait, isn't there a Mexican guy that talks to dogs?
The dog whisperer?
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Caesar something?
Caesar Romero or something? No, it's the guy who played the Joker in the original Batman. Fuck.
Same thing.
That was close.
But yeah, you should get it because this dog seems like it's out of control with the ducks and the possums.
I'll give you a little moment with my dog. I'll share a dog.
Introduce it to an alligator. See what it does then.
You see that? Ever see that video? That video where the cat attacks, it basically makes the alligator back down? You ever see that? It was on Facebook.
No, but I have seen videos of cats and alligators.
Oh, yeah. Well, there they go.
Is that in my head?
Oh. No, that's just sound effect.
Oh, shit. I thought you hit a button. And it was like, oh, this is the sound of cats.
Yeah. Something so realistic.
So what's
going to be
video?
Podcasters around the world. Really download that.
What's
really fucking get the dog barking.
What's the video with the.
It's actually, there's an alligator. And, you know, you live in South Florida, everyone. I've seen hundreds of alligators.
It happens.
You know, it's almost like a duck.
I have the animal.
Doesn't
channel.
Happen as often as the duck. But yeah, if you live along an embankment of water, you're gonna eventually see an alligator. And in the morning, they like to sunbathe.
Yeah,
right
up on the bank.
And if you ever get caught jumping into a canal, and you're like, "Oh my god, I don't want to get eaten by an alligator." If it's let's just say it's any time after 9:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, maybe till about 11 or 12, none of them are gonna try to chase you to eat you.
Why?
Because they're kind of hungry. They're still.
I like that you told me that, but I don't like how loose your science is.
What do you mean?
You just get from like 9 to 11, they're on bankers' hours, they take a long lunch, they don't eat during those hours. What if I'm in at 11:35? Did I miss the cutoff and now I got my leg fucking... Yeah. What are you talking
there's
about?
Always that, there's always that you're, one alternative.
People are listening to this. You're going to get someone killed.
I was told that
you're
advice.
You're going to get someone fucking killed.
Listen, when I was a youngin', we used to hunt snakes. Me and my friends, we'd get on a boat.
Who didn't?
Right. And, you know, paper out and hunting snakes. That was on my...
Of course.
You know, adolescence.
Where'd you grow up?
Mostly down in this area.
In Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've been shitting on Florida all morning. Yeah. Have you taken any offense to any of this shit?
I agree with you most of the time. You know, listen, that's why I'm doing a radio show out of Florida.
Yeah.
We might as well report from
the
scene.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
I'm at ground fucking zero.
Hey,
here.
Florida, you know what you have going for you? Weather.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's only good a couple months of the year.
Let me ask you a question on a social aspect. Don't you think that maybe people that have lived here a long time, like a lot of transplant northerners like New York, there's a lot of them on the East Coast. On the West Coast, you got a lot of Midwesterners that transplanted down here. It's a big difference between those two groups right there.
It's because it's a start-over state.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, I fucked up my life in the West Coast. I'm going to start over. I'm going to go to Florida.
Two things in Florida, right? It's one of the biggest rehab centers. You know, like how
that's hilarious.
I mean, how can you expect like a drug addict, like I got to go through the snow to go to a fucking meeting? Yeah, give the guy obstacles.
But rehab for it's the biggest pill place in the fucking country. They're all on Oxycontins and all that shit. They're the rehab, really?
Now listen, are you like me? Do you have the uncanny ability, much like in a bad movie, like where you could spot out a vampire, but also be able to spot out people who are just pill ridden? That you know, just take a lot of pill. You could see them, right? It's almost like in that movie with
I own a mirror. No,
I find him very recognizable. That guy right there. That's hilarious. I grew up with it. I had family members that, you know, and you get that tone and everything. So it's interesting. You see a lot of that in Florida.
Yeah.
There's a city here in Florida called Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah.
Which has sometimes been renamed Hollyweird.
Okay.
Now, and I could contest to this because I was talking to you on the way from the airport and everything. I said I used to work at a bank as a money manager, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I had offices in Hollywood.
I heard it was just old people.
Yeah, the old people are old, but the people that are like from 45 to 60 are all fucking drunk.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I met one of those dudes today in the bar. Yeah. A guy, he was like, I took the Greyhound bus down from Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And he was shit. And he was on pills for sure.
Yeah.
He was just a slurry fucking.
Exactly.
Just a fucking mess. Just not there.
I don't know if you're anything like me. When I run into it, I completely just walk away from it. I just can't be bothered.
I just can't be bothered with their speed of thinking.
Yeah.
I met this chap at the bar, and he was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to Hollywood and become a star. I was like, dude, you're in the wrong.
This is wrong Hollywood. I took my wife to Venice for the honeymoon.
That's the other guy I wanted to. The bar I went to in wherever we were, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, down on the strip.
It was called Hunters. Hunters.
Yeah, it's a gay bar.
It is definitely not a gay bar.
Yeah, you were at a gay bar.
It's definitely not, because I went into the men's room and no one sucked my dick.
That's the guy who's blowing me.
No, I went into the men's room and they had a collage of pictures of a former porn star.
Right.
He looked just like Morgan Spurlock. Sorry.
Yeah.
I find that funny to say.
Who was this? The guy from the famous movie,
the Super Size Me.
Oh,
Morgan Spurlock. Isn't that Morgan Spurlock? And he has a series of whatever fucking reality horseshit.
Right.
So he looked just like this. But there's a montage, a collage of pictures on both walls as you're in the bathroom, on both walls covering.
Right.
Of just him grabbing asses and fucking slapping asses and him with his face buried in tits. In one of the pictures, he's actually having sexual intercourse
right.
with a woman.
Ooh.
Joggy style,
nice.
I think they call it.
Yeah.
And grabbing her by the forehead.
over the top?
Yeah. It's a weird move.
It's like you're getting the bowling ball from the fucking, hey, that's mine. I'm playing with the 15.
It looked like the camel clutch from the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an old school wrestling reference.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. Look, it's holding my pencil.
But I just can't. And so anyway, there's all these pictures of this fucking guy, and he's there at the bar.
He's hanging out.
He's hanging like, hey, go in the bathroom, check out my work. Like, just a fucking, it was the weirdest shit ever.
Wow.
And I asked the bartender lady, I go, hey, what's up with all these pictures in the bathroom of these pornographic?
What's
and
up?
He goes, that's one of the co-owners of the bar. Oh, the guy, him, right there with the fucking no shirt and cowboy hat on. It's
nice.
Him. And he looked older, but I guess his number is 1,200. He's had sex with 1,200 women is somewhere. That's what I was told.
That's a lot. That's over Will Chamberlain numbers, right? What did Will Chamberlain claim?
I've had sex.
You have a number? Do you know your number? You know your number exactly?
I mix up masturbation with sex a lot of times.
Yeah,
so
it's like
over 1,200.
So you're using like the Enron, accounting system.
I don't know.
There's a lot of other shit you count.
Why do you have to go and make the podcast smart all of a sudden?
Yeah, well,
I was talking about jerking
that's
off.
That's the beauty. See, listen, I tell dick jokes, trust me. But at the same time, I like to blend in the fact that I know what I'm doing. when you tell a dick joke and you tell it, you know, articulately. Anyway, but no, absolutely, dude. It's Florida. Yeah. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Fucking a crazy place. And we talk about a dude who's had sex with 1,200. So you know your number?
How many women?
Yeah.
I've
how
had?
Many? Yeah. You know. You have an idea?
How many women? Individual women.
No, if you want to count farm animals.
No, and, no. I've only had sex with women.
I mean, bracket 25, 50, 100, 250, 400.
In between the 25 and 50
months. All right, good. You know.
I think. I'm actually embarrassed about that.
I would be too. Listen,
I think it's too high. I think
oh,
it's,
really?
Yeah.
So so when you see a chick, you're like, you're not worthy of me. Yeah. You have to really like be special.
No, they've all been worthy.
Okay. Well, that's why. That's a smaller number. If I count the ones that were worthy.
No. And by worthy, I don't mean attractive or thin.
Funny,
what huh? I meant was they were worthy of me having sex with them because I wanted to have sex.
Right. Well, you don't. I never
and
had
that,
sex.
That was the whole qualification right there. Yeah. They were okay with it.
You could check off either yes or no.
Hey, listen. I'm not even bothered by the burns on your face.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see through that.
I think eyebrows are a distraction.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that your stomach looks like a fucking rolled up napkin. I'm gonna go with it. Just don't move so much. Yeah, no, it's funny you said. By the way, there was just something recently. I think it's on our news today.
I've only loved three of them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I never tabulated that one, but I think that would be something I could count on my hands.
I think I might be high on that.
Yeah. Love. I mean, love. I mean, you know.
I have no idea.
Like, don't forget their birthday and Valentine's Day and
I actually
love.
You just reminded me that I don't believe in love.
All right. So none of them, zero.
Yeah.
Like Lenny, I'm 0-0.
But I fuck 50 of those chicks.
Yeah, Lenny, by the way, Lenny's married now. He'll tell you he has sex with his wife 4 or 5 times a day.
Really? No.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Hate him.
I can understand it. She's like a, you know,
she's
attractive,
a supermodel.
Older woman. She's in great shape, you know, physically, you know, she has a stance.
You just called her an attractive older woman. I hope she's not listening.
But she is older. I would say I'm an older man. I'm not an old fart.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
Does that make us older?
I think I am. You know, in consideration, you know, is your, and by the way, thanks for the premise.
Which?
Which I told you one of my jokes and you shared, well, this is a funny way to look at that.
Which?
You see, you already forgot?
Yeah, I smoked pot. I drank 5 beers right. When I got off the plane. I haven't slept in 48 hours.
I want to ask you if I can use it.
But I don't even know what we're talking about.
All right.
What premise are we talking about?
I remember something about with comics, like doing financial planning and now
the comedy.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the premise of help, like going on, you know.
It's not strong.
All right, you don't think it's worthy? I won't write it down. I thought I had something.
I only write closing jokes.
Yeah. You ever think now as a comic, don't you think, like, as I, how long have you been doing comedy now?
I refuse to answer the question.
Okay. Let's see. Where do we go from here? A decade? Less than a decade?
Okay, yeah. We're not playing the guessing game either.
All right, okay. Let me ask you this then. Why would something like that, is that like maybe being as an actor in L.A., you don't want to tell anybody your age? Is it something similar? Or is that...
See all these guys on your wall here?
Yeah.
I started before them.
Right. No. I'll give you a great example of something like that. It's a really good friend of mine.
With the exception of Frank Del Pizzo.
You never work with Frank?
No, I love Frank.
I have a friend in a similar situation. I'm looking for him on the wall. A gentleman named Steve Marshall, who's going to be at Tavolino's coming up on May 11th next week.
He's never going to make it.
He's been headlining for 10 decades. Or I'm sorry, 3 decades.
10 decades would be, that's like, hey, somebody cut this guy a break.
Somebody,
you know,
give him a fucking stand-up.
You know,
puck.
Give him a fucking spot on Ferguson anyway. No.
And by the way, at Tavolino's, he's been the guy who's been, they love him. He's fucking crushed that room.
I heard the food's great.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's how you know the gig's a fucking monster. Hey, the food is really good.
There are people that want to come back, particularly because they want to back and see the ownership.
We went to the comedy show at Avellino's, and I got to tell you something. If you could just shut up those fucking comics to let us enjoy the food.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat here.
This place would
you
were be making,
making up my eggplant parm. By the way, if you like eggplant parm, it's the best you've ever eaten.
You ever have duck parm?
Yeah, well, we're going to have duck parm. In fact, we're going to write that, duck parm. Very funny. Anyway, I forgot what the fuck I was talking about.
Duck parm is probably one of your wife's relatives.
Yeah, he's from Vietnam. Hey, where's duck parm? You know, here's a true story. There's a family that we know, and their family name is Wrong.
Of course.
Right? Wrong.
Right.
And it's me Wrong, she Wrong.
No way.
I swear to God. And I'm eating at the table, and I'm like, this is me Ron. I go, okay, I get it, me Ron. You know, similarity, whatever. And this is he Wrong. I go,
you
oh,
actually
come on.
Met these people?
Yeah, I met them.
And they introduced themselves by their full name,
yeah.
Each one of them? This is he Wrong, this is she Wrong, this is me Wrong, this
all,
is D Wrong?
All I could think about was videoing or showing it like a Family Feud bit. And how here's the me Wrong family.
Well, this is the old shitty street yeah. joke about the Asian couple that has a black baby.
Right.
And they named it Sum Ting Wong.
I never heard it. I'm glad
I heard that?
In case I think about it. Hey, that's funny.
That joke's yeah. old enough to vote.
See, now you've been around, and listen, but Steve's been doing it a long time, and this year he's got a lot more breaks, and things have just started happening. Like you, as a comic,
it's never going to work out, Steve.
Yeah, as a comic, I could say
whatever they dangle in front of you is just going to fucking fizzle away.
Is it something that ever like you grow up with peers? I mean, you know, they were saying the guy Greg, the guy who committed suicide, that was on Last Comic Standing, Geraldo. Gerardo, right? Gerardo, I remember pronouncing his name.
Yeah.
One of the big things he was feeling was like the competition amongst peers. Like, you know, sometimes you grow up with a certain class of comic and then somebody shoots somebody.
I don't
you know.
I don't think you got the story. I don't. I,
no.
He didn't.
I'm sure
he
that's
did not
the...
kill himself because he was depressed, I don't think.
No.
I don't know enough about it to speak on it, but I don't think that's what happened. I think he overdosed on pills accidentally.
Right.
Accidentally. I think he was just fucked up.
Which can happen. I mean, who hasn't taken I forgot, did I take my NyQuil yet?
I don't think he was like, I'm never going to be as good as Colin Quinn and
right.
killed himself.
Yeah.
I don't think, because he was, he was my favorite, actually. He was,
yeah.
Greg Giraldo was my favorite. He was, I always thought he was the smartest, funniest comic.
Do you need to be depressed to be funny comic?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. No, I think you know, the guys I know that go the farthest in this business are the guys that work the hardest at it. And that's the really only true formula I've seen in the years I've been doing comedy is the guys that work the hardest go the farthest. That's it.
Now, and again, you know, and there's
you have to be able to do it.
Right.
You know, you can't suck and work hard.
How long is it? Like,
we
won't talk about time, but how long? If somebody's been doing comedy, and let's say they're just still doing, they're not really getting paid to do it. Let's say they're just traveling open to mics, and whether that's because they still have a day job and they don't have enough time to commit to really, be, like you said, to be truly working at it and truly giving it an effort, versus somebody who's actually doing it 6-7 days a week, going up there writing, you know, just basically being a true. That's what you're doing. You know, it wasn't like Paul McCartney says, hey, I'm going to go over to the Walmart and do some bagging. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? That fucking guy and those guys sat around and traveled and played. That's all they fucking did. There's sometimes in comedy, you got people that are just doing it 2 or 3 days a week saying, hey, how come I'm not on Last Comic Standing?
Well, the guys that aren't working very hard and then going, hey, how come I'm not further along? You know, the answer is you. The reason
right.
you're not further along
is
you.
Isn't it always the
First
truth?
Of all, anyone that asks how come I'm not further along is probably fucking asking the wrong questions.
Exactly.
You know, they should be asking, how come I'm not writing a killer new bit?
Yeah.
How come I'm not at a place working out something new? How come I'm not killing social media and fucking making a new video and... If you want to be big, I don't think it's that hard. You know, you don't even need the industry anymore.
Yeah.
If you're smart at it and good
exactly.
at good at the
something creative.
Internet.
You got to come up with some sort of hook.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. There's always
yeah.
the hook. There's always
and the formula's kind of there already.
And anyway, technical I think
that's how you're doing it.
I think yeah, exactly. I think I'm not going to put that much effort into it. There's so many other things that have to be, you know, taken care of, you know, considered. right now, you know? Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think a duck got pissed off and fucked with our cable line.
Yeah, maybe we had too much trash in the duck talk.
Yeah, ducks are ganging up on us. It was your fucking dog that ate us.
So what was supposed to happen? We were supposed to bring in...
Lenny Travis
and talk to Lenny.
But Lenny Travis is probably using his, you know... Lenny Travis was the one who informed me that RedTube has, like, malware. Like, if you ever go to the porn site RedTube, they've been pointed out as saying they'll fuck your computer up. They'll load it up with, you know, all kinds of shit. And next thing you know, you're like, why is this...
Well, I would think most of the porn sites do that, right?
No, there's a few good ones.
Which one is the good one?
I don't know. It's like picking an internet a poker site.
Right.
You play poker? You play any cards?
Yeah. I lose a lot.
Yeah? No, like me. Do you really play? Like, you go like...
I don't enter fucking World Series of Poker or anything, but I love a good house game, and if I'm inclined, sometimes I'll play at a casino, but usually I'm on the craps table instead.
Yeah, see, I watch how much fun it is. Everybody looks like they're in a fucking ball. I still haven't learned how to play craps.
It's way easier than everyone makes it look.
Yeah.
Because there's only two smart bets or three smart bets.
Yeah.
The rest of it's all horse shit for fucking for guys like you standing around
going,
oh,
that's good to do.
Oh, that one pays 30 to 1. Oh.
Yeah. Like the odds, like, in other words, the idea of craps I'm thinking is something's rolled. Let's say the opening rolls.
They call
fourth,
it the come out roll.
The come out roll, okay. That's odd. Okay. So, you
the
know,
come
some
out
guy,
roll.
A guy must have thought of that. Much like when we went to the drive through. I said, no, I call it the drive up.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because basically that's the most important thing. You drive up and you get your shit.
Well, in craps, the come out roll is the same in Florida as it is in everywhere.
Right, exactly.
It's called the come out
roll. There's no regional difference when it comes
to
something like
that. So that is the first roll of the dice, and that's when the dice are what they call off. There isn't a point established.
Now who rolls that dice? Anybody?
Whoever's next in line.
I gotcha. Roll it out. Roll
it goes right around the table.
And everybody places their bets on the next roll.
Yes, and typically at this point on the come-out roll, most people would be putting a pass line bet down. That's a $5 or $10, whatever, depending on the amount of table you're playing on. But that's a bet that says that either a 7 or 11 will come out on this come-out roll, and I'll get paid even money on my bet.
Dollar for dollar.
Or 2, 3, or 12, that's a craps. And that would be, you lose your...
2, 3, 12 bad rolls.
On the come-out roll.
First roll, yeah.
Yeah. Any other number that is rolled, not a 7, not an 11, not 2, 3, or 12, any other number that is rolled establishes the point. Now the rollers, what the roller's trying to do is roll that number again before a 7.
Gotcha.
That's all. That's the entire game of craps.
So if you pass, if you're playing pass at that point, you stay there because you're still in the hand because, or you're still in the roll because you're passing until either it's going to repeat a 7 or 11 before it rolls.
No, a set. The next thing that can happen, you want the point to repeat. So say on the come out roll, I didn't roll a 7, I didn't roll 11. That would have paid you immediately even money.
Right.
I didn't roll a 2, 3, or 12. That would have taken your money. What I rolled was a 5.
Right. 3, 2.
I rolled a 3 and a 2, which is a 5.
Right.
Now, my next roll, all I'm hoping to happen is for that 5 to repeat.
Absolutely.
Not a 7. The only thing that can hurt at that point is a 7.
Right, because that's a winning hand if you're betting on it.
That would be winning on the come-out roll.
Right.
The following rolls, it's not a winning.
See, I'm already fucked up.
It's really easy. No. On the first one, you want a 7-11. On any other one... You want the number to repeat.
That's the big go for. And if it doesn't repeat, and as long as it doesn't...
That's the best odds in the casino is the odds bet on the repeating number, on the
and
point.
So if it rolls that, whatever it is, the 5, the 8, you got the, I don't know, 5, 3, whatever. If you're hoping that rolls again before a 7 wins.
Right. And you can roll it any way. You can roll it, say you
like
had
backwards
an 8.
Over your head?
No, I mean, say you had rolled a...
Around the back?
Say you had rolled 2 4s.
You ever see Pistol Pete?
Say you had rolled 2 4s. That's an 8, right?
Right.
Now, on your following roll, as long as you roll it before a 7 comes out, any other roll that comes up as an 8, that's a 2 and a 6.
Nice.
Any
other number combination.
Any other combination.
Total roll.
You would get paid on that.
Not on your bet. Nice. Yeah.
Plus odds. Listen. Wow, we just boring this thing up, huh?
No.
We can edit that all out.
Listen, I don't know because I'll save this. Listen, I don't give a fuck what listeners. I wanted to hear about craps.
I actually made all of that up. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm more of a Baccarat guy.
Yeah, actually, Baccarat. You like that guy? I don't think he's a great singer.
He's a natural nine.
That's right. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. When we come back, hopefully we get through technical difficulties to get our good friend Lenny Travis here in the studio through the magic of Skype, which is not that magical at the moment.
I use the other thing, FaceTime.
Yeah, well, this is not an Apple product, so we'll have to get there. Anyway, we'll be right back right after this.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
It's called Copyright Infringement. Is that the name of this song?
Keep holding on when my brain's ticking like a bomb. Guess the black box have come again to get me.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Tom Dustin.
Still here.
In the studio, that's right. And finally... back through the Skype line, Lenny Travis is with us.
Yay!
Yeah, did we ever figure out what the problem was? Was it on my end or your end?
Well, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is, when's the last time you vacuumed or anything that microphone?
I don't think it's the microphone because I couldn't hear you.
No, there was all kinds of shit we were dealing with there. There was connection
issues.
You
know what? I couldn't tell the difference.
Really?
I still can't. It all sounds like gold to me, Jerry.
Really? You listened to a lot of loud music as a kid?
No, I hated whatever you just played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't like the corn?
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Coming Undone.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, the kids must love it.
They do. It's an awesome song. And hi, welcome, Lenny. We were actually, I let Tom know that you're the kind of guy that has sex with his wife 5 times a day.
That's a lot.
Is it?
She must hate you. She must fucking hate you.
No, she's into it.
Really? That much? She's got to be faking into it half of the time.
Only on Saturday and Sunday, but every Saturday and Sunday, it's been like pretty steady.
That's crazy.
And then like one or two Monday to Friday.
But I'm the worst guy to ask because I haven't been in a real relationship in forever.
Right.
The few ones I've had have always been weird sexually and awkward and fucking... If I met a girl that would fuck me 4 times a day...
Yeah, you'd still be with her. All right, maybe not.
Hold on. That was a beautiful silence.
Well, Valentine's Day was insane. I'm not even exaggerating. It must have been like at least 7 or 8 times without getting out of bed the entire Saturday.
Jeez.
And just eating chocolate and fruit. And every time I was up, she just jumped on it.
Really? Is she hot?
Yeah. She's nice. I love her. I think she's hot. She's got you know what? We're the same age. She's definitely pretty, and she's got a killer body.
Yeah, she's like you said. She's
you lost
college
me.
Girl.
You
she's
lost
like
me at
five,
same age. You
she's
lost.
Like 5'4", 100 pounds. See, she's like a spinner.
You just described your wife as a fishing lure.
Body like that.
Yeah, well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How long you been with her?
It'll be 5 years coming up.
Oh, so it's still relatively fresh.
Yeah, but 5 years.
Let's see if you're still having these 4 fuck Fridays on in 5 more years.
I didn't even like to play kickball for an extension of 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 times a day. You know what? Some things, even things that feel good, you got to be like, you know, that, right. Enough is enough over
here.
Well,
I think listen, he's inspiring me because I was gone, you know, by the way, I mentioned this on the show yesterday. A couple people messaged on the fan page at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show at Facebook. Because I admitted that the whole time I was in California, I abstained from, obviously, even self. I didn't do anything. I saved up. I had no.
You saved up?
Yeah. I built up a fucking reserve. Like, you know what I mean? I was gathering the
troops. What
are
you trying to pour a foundation later on? Yeah. What are you doing?
I was going
to
do my impression of Peter North.
Hey, is that silly screen?
Took my
silly
wife
string?
And she rocketed into the wall.
It was like when you used to put water in those rockets with the pump. Dude, now that was actually inspiring because I'm like, hey, okay, you know. But even something, here's the thing, even the guy like me, I'm married, the dogs, like having the dogs, sometimes the dogs are in the room and it's like, it's too much of a pain in the ass to actually go put the dog to fucking bed, come back and do everything you need to do.
Wait, so would the dog join in or
yeah, he's got a role.
Interrupt?
He's got, yeah,
if you were to leave him alone, or would he just look at you disgusting?
There is no way in hell that Jack Russell would let me. He doesn't. When I hug my wife, he gets pissed. He starts barking.
Oh.
Did you see the picture of the guy sitting on the couch with the 175-pound pit bull?
No.
It's a picture going around the internet. It looks like a creature. You know, it's absolutely hilarious just to look at.
Well, that's great for a radio show.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge.
It's huge. It looks like it's out of Star Wars.
Is that a dog? Yeah.
Once my friend's pit bull was humping my leg, and I go, "What am I supposed to do?" And my friend goes, "Let him finish."
Exactly. Yeah, don't interrupt him. He gets mad when you do that. By the way, Tom was impressed with our ducks. He likes our ducks.
What kind of ducks?
the injured kind.
Yeah, the ones that are all maimed.
I guess the Jack Russell is a real nasty bitch and took down a duck and maimed it and then...
Yeah, he doesn't take kindly to strangers.
Possum. Eating a possum.
By the way, Lenny, we were talking earlier about the number of women we've had sex with and earlier, and I don't know if you came up with a number, a bracket, and...
I told you mine wasn't a lot. I think that's why I'm
what's
so
your,
active now.
Yeah, but what? Because I think mine is a lot.
He said 50.
We weren't supposed to reveal.
That's like way more than me.
That we weren't supposed to reveal it. Did you say that? I wanted to see what he was going to say.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So Lenny, what bracket are you in? He gave me the 25.
I can tell you right now, like all through the 80s, I was losing my hair, and the only people I could pick up in the clubs were fat chicks. Such a bad look.
You know what?
The
80s. They still count.
I know. I would think maybe
sometimes
probably,
you count them as two.
I would say about maybe only, I'd say 10 chicks through the 80s, only like two or three through all the 90s, because I had two steady girlfriends for 5 years each, and I never really tried to, just didn't occur to me. To get anyone else when I had them. So like 10 through the 80s, 2 through the 90s, then only like a couple from 2000, I guess from 2000 to 2010.
Yeah, so
I would say another like 15.
Yeah, so you got to be in the high 20s, low 30s.
Let's see, 15, 25, 27. We're talking, I think, really, just about 28.
Yeah, I'm not that far off of that. He gave me a bracket 25 to 50, and I said that, but it's not the high end of that.
I got you.
I think I'm in the 30 mark, 32 something.
So you're really not paying that much in taxes?
No, no. Almost every single one of those young ladies, those adorable generous, those generous young girls.
Those loving souls.
Every single one of them, for the most part, I can call and ask for a ride to the airport and I'd get it.
Wow. Really?
To this day.
Well, that's an impressive. That's like drinking Heineken instead of Bush.
Yeah.
There's a quality there, not quantity of the number.
I don't like to burn a lot of bridges because I like to cross them.
Yeah. You never know when you're going to come back.
Yeah.
I could definitely tell you whatever my number is. I could not. I wouldn't even be recognized, I think, at this stage. Maybe like, yeah, like there are women I slept with. I probably walk by every day and don't even remember.
Oh, really? You were a real pig.
I was a dashing.
You were
fella.
A real fucking pig.
Yeah. Well, you know,
dog.
I was single.
You broke a lot of hearts.
Yeah.
Lied.
No,
didn't you lie to these people?
I had that. Like I said, look at
you're
that fucking,
fucking
photo
bad
up there.
Person. You're a bad person. You stole virginities and
I was
painted faces. And
I know some guys. Richard Jenny told me that he did a tour of Australia for like about 6 weeks, and he said him and the other act like made a bet with each other to see how many girls, different girls, they could lay. And he said he like lost, and he did like close to 30.
Well, he shouldn't have killed himself for losing that bet, but...
No, I think that was the reason.
Robin Williams had a similar issue.
Yeah, can you imagine? I can't believe it. At any rate, hey, there's a woman here that was in the news recently that holds a record of having sex with 919 guys in the same day.
That's that picture of her with Perry Sack?
Yeah, that was he was 919.
900 guys in a day?
In a day?
Yeah.
So she's got me and Lenny beat.
Yeah, in a fucking day.
She's in the Guinness Book of World Records under different things. Like most times having sex, sloppiest pussy.
Woman holds record.
World disasters.
Woman holds record for having sex with 919 guys in the same day. In 2004 porn actress Lisa Sparks set a new world record for having sex with the most men in a single day during the annual World Gangbang Championship.
And then her father, Richard Jenny,
yeah, he was
went into the shower.
The American porn star competed against two other women. Boy, can you imagine being an extra that day?
No. Imagine being in a competition to have the most dicks in you.
Yeah, I'm a better whore.
Oh,
imagine
my
you got 500 and you lost and it was a waste of time.
What a sad
what do you win? STDs, bitch. Get the fuck out.
I have to go open this fire hydrant so I could douche.
Oh my God.
The World Gangbang Championship. I mean, out of all the things, like Lenny, the your daughter just called and said she's in porn. What do you say?
Said, oh, that's terrible. Well, there's, I did 900 in a day. You mean there was more news?
$900?
No, Daddy. She achieved the record by having sex with 919 men over a period of 12 hours.
12 hours. Yeah, but you know what?
That's all it took?
Well, here's the thing. Not each one of those. There's a row of fluffers before you get to the girl. So there's guys sucking. There's girls sucking the guy's dick.
Getting them ready.
Readying
like
them up.
Crew. Like a pit
and,
crew.
And, and the idea is to get them ready to pop and then have them go fuck her for 2 seconds and come.
So what's 900 divided by 12? Like, how many was she doing an hour?
She was 80 doing or so.
10?
80.
I don't know. Ask the money guy.
About 12 an hour.
About 80. She's doing about 80 guys an hour, dude. You're talking about, she's got 12.
Oh, 80. I meant a minute.
She was doing 80
guys an hour.
So she's, like you said, they're getting them all primed up. The guy's ready to shoot off. Like,
yeah,
you know.
They call them fluffers. They're getting them ready for
the. I know what a fucking fluff is.
30 seconds to a minute.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, they got a bunch of married guys in there.
Yeah, but they get them all ready first. And I think it is a lot of weirdo, virgin fucking...
I'll do it.
Oh, I'm going to fuck a chick right after 600 other guys did.
Well, they got a photo with some of these gentlemen. She has some big old cans, man.
Hey, I got a good number. I'm number 64. I got a low number. You want to trade with me?
By the way, they actually did the math.
That must happen at that fucking shoot. Hey, you want to trade numbers with me? I'll give you $50 if I can go 40th.
Yeah, it's like you're a lion at the Cracker Barrel.
If I can go 27th, that's in the top 30, dude.
So, they did the math, by the way. That would mean she spent only 45 seconds having sex with each man, which is about 13 and a half seconds longer than is often necessary. Speak for yourself. On the day, Lisa Sparks won the competition by only 21 men. So there was a chick that came in second, Lenny.
Which basically you don't have any fucking Pac-Man
like
music.
96 or whatever the number is. Yeah, you're in second. Oh, really? I'm in an app.
Yeah, you're not even gonna get a fucking good Wikipedia page.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine coming second in that contest.
Yeah, her Wikipedia page says second place World Gangbang, currently working at fucking Chick-fil-A.
I can when I was in high school.
Oh, now they have Christian values.
When I was in high school. In my youth, I had three in one day.
I did that. Right? I did three different girls in one day. I felt real bad about it, though.
I've never done. I've never done more than
the hat trick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my friend, the minute that I told my friends, they're like, dude, they fucking gave me the, I think my buddy was wearing a Yankee hat. He goes, here you go.
I woke up with the girl I was cheating on my girlfriend with at her house. I banged her. Then I went and saw a girl I hadn't seen forever, and we just ended up fucking.
Why not?
And then I hung out with my girlfriend later on that night and fucked her.
Yeah.
Three.
And she couldn't stop kissing me.
Yeah.
You're all right.
That was bad news, though. What a piece of shit I was.
Well, so you're like me then. So you, no wonder you recognized and called me out. You're familiar with being that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But how about
I think you have to have been that guy to appreciate what a shitbag he is.
Yeah, exactly. You know how bad you've been.
You know, every time I go out by myself, and I don't know if it's because, you know, we never talked about it, but the wife will always do it like two or three times. Like she gets home at 5, and let's say I'm going out at 9. We'll just, you know, we'll eat a little and then start banging. And then by the time I get out, the hottest girl in the world could look by and I'm just like yawning.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like the last thing like I feel like doing.
Do you think that's her motivation is to fuck the hunt out of you? She's fucking
club,
the hunt
so
out of you?
She knows when I go on gigs by myself, she's like, let me make sure there's nothing left.
They met like that, in a sense. So, yeah. I mean, you know, Lenny, we'd go on, you know, the wise guys are a little troop, a little funny. We'd go on the road, we'd do a little three-guy tour, whatever, me, those three, that guy. And, you know, it's like, how long are you going to be? You know, and you could tell Lenny had a, he had that moment where, And you know that's what the guy's coping with. Like, my wife, for example, is awesome. I mean, look at her. She look at me. She's not worried about me getting laid. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know.
I stopped worrying about that a long time ago.
Why? Why would you say that?
You know, listen, I'll be honest. I haven't had many women. You know,
yeah, but dude, you could very easily be number 467 in 919.
Yeah, I wish I was.
That story, Dougie's wife walked in on him with another woman, and she said to the woman, I have to, but you?
It would be funnier if Dougie's wife walked in on him and 917 other guys.
I'm going for the record.
Oh, what a
pig. You know, here's the thing. I don't know how many other contestants there were, but think about this for a second. If she came in first with 919, the person came in second came in with like 897 or 8, whatever the fuck it was. And, right, that's two. So that you're talking about over, you know, over 1,200 guys. So who came in third? Did they have like four? Or did they have like 500? Could you imagine how many fucking dudes? I mean, think about this place. Can you imagine the crew that's got to clean up this fucking mess?
And they must recycle the dudes at some point. Like, number 43 might also be number 743, you
Yeah,
know?
You think he gets back in line?
Like, yeah, I would. I'd
put like three numbers out of the hat?
It's like in fucking Gangs of New York. Shave them and send them back in to vote.
Exactly.
I got 1,204-480. That's okay.
Exactly. That's what a day that is, dude. 419.
And you know what's great? They end up having to ice the woman's private parts down, you know, they have to ice it down like a.
Did you see her, by the way?
I don't want
to look at those titties, man.
She needs like a cut man in the ring.
What if she could have done other things?
Yeah,
I would have been impressed if she was like number one in the world at fucking fly fishing or something.
Yeah, she could be doing that. Yeah,
maybe she could be great at World of Warcraft. I don't know.
But probably sad about how much.
But
money
I'm not
she
gonna.
Got.
But how many guys are gonna be like, "Hey, my wife, you know, you know what she's got the record for."
I guess she definitely is running into a situation where she can run into somebody she may have met before.
Somebody could run into her, literally.
Yeah.
Uncle Bob.
Hey, who turned the lights out?
Hello, hello.
I seem to have taken the wrong turn. That's fucked up. All right. Well, I wish I had. Who knows? Hey, this is a big controversy. I'm going to just transition to something else important. Yeah. I think we liquid, right? That's done, right? The fucking 919
people. I ran out of shit a long time ago.
We got all we could out of that.
I don't think we had anything for it. We still gave it 12 minutes.
Ah, really?
This was my favorite topic of the week. Did you do anything about the racist emails in Ferguson?
What racist emails?
No, I guess there was something I read a couple days ago where it said that the police department, it's found that they found that there was a lot of racism. And
a lot of fun
what?
Me and really? My wife are laughing. So they're not going to press charges, federal charges, against the guy that shot the kid. But they did this whole exam of the police department, and there was like all these things. And technically, I'll tell you a couple of them. It's hard to think if they were wrong. Like 65% of Ferguson, Missouri, is black, but the people getting pulled over, black people were getting pulled over 85% of the time. Now, technically, is that racist? Maybe these black people just like breaking the law more.
Well, all right. It's interesting because, I mean,
there is a systematic racism that has gone with the police in this country for years.
I think, well...
Think so?
Absolutely. there is no fucking denying it. I mean, there is no denying... I smoke weed. I smoke a ton of weed. I'm a weed smoker. And I've been arrested for possession of marijuana, right? And I got really... I did a lot of research, and it turns out black guys... my equivalent, but a black guy, gets arrested 5 times more likely than I do.
I bet they're more blatant.
No. There is no evidence to even say that they smoke more weed than I do. It's just, that's just how it goes. You go to jail more if you're black. If anyone that's denying that at this point in the fucking history is crazy. Like, it's a fact. I don't know why or how or where or how to fix it, to make it
right. I know about the Jersey Turnpike.
But it's...
every time I used to drive in Jersey and you'd see a car pulled over, someone in my car would go, "Is he black?" And everyone would look. And I'd say 90% of the time he was black.
The cop?
No, the guy getting arrested. I'm
from Boston, and I mean, supposedly we're the most racist city in the North, but we're the most racist city in the North. I don't know why I made that a question.
They're biasing. So they found 7 emails.
Yeah, but it's funny.
That racist.
It's not just
I'll
there.
I'll read you some, and you tell me if you.
Oh, give me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Give me the emails.
This is in 2008. An email said, "President Obama would not be president for very long because a black man holds a steady job. Black man finds it very hard to hold a steady job for 4 years."
That's a fucking great joke, but definitely racist. Definitely racist.
Well, the joke's on them because he got reelected. So I don't think that's racist.
Wait. Just because he got reelected doesn't mean that that joke isn't racist.
Yeah. How'd you make that correlation?
All right.
No, that is definitely a racist. I mean, I'm not offended by it because I'm, you know, white.
Right.
But that's definitely fucking racist. That's an email that they sent.
Yeah, that's a police officer, right?
Well, that's only an email that you can send around an all-white police force, which is part of the problem. They get
right. Well, I think what Lenny was bringing up earlier was that he was saying, that there's. There's a high black concentration of people in that neighborhood.
No, I get
and in other words, which came first, the chicken? No, even on a bigger
not disproportionate amount of pullovers.
Like which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Like,
I definitely think like black people. Like, let's say, like, you know what I've never done, or I would always be afraid to do when I smoked weed. I would never just take out a joint and walk down a public street and do it, where I could easily see like 4 black guys thinking it's no big deal.
Well, that.
I did it today.
Yeah, I did it.
In Fort Lauderdale.
I did it.
As soon as I got off the plane. Well, first of all, I smuggled weed on the plane.
I did it on the streets of San Luis. Right, exactly.
Then I smoked the weed on A1A, Beachmont Avenue.
Didn't you always watch where you did it? Like,
yeah.
you didn't just light it up without looking around?
Yes,
or maybe going to a place where there's really, down a side street where no one's around?
I went down a little side street, but I looked around and I was aware of my surroundings. But it was less likely that the cops were going to be looking at me eyeing a side street and slipping down a side street than 2 black guys. You know, it's just they're looking for them more. You know, it's a systematic, whether it's intentional or not.
However, it just is. Now,
it just is.
Now, there's two, you could look at it a few ways. You could say, obviously, from the outside, it's racist comments because it's directed towards a race. These emails are making an association like, hey, he's
black
a black
guys
president.
Don't have jobs for long.
Right. Whatever.
What I think the problem is you got to clearly define what racist is, and it's got to be something that is derogatory towards the race, right?
Right.
Is that, like, if I say Asian people are good at math, is that racist? I can't tell.
I don't think so.
Because it's not derogatory.
Well, isn't it like all black guys have big dicks? I mean, that's not negative.
And you know what? I have polled many a black audience, and they really like that stereotype.
Why not? Hell, you know.
But I tell them that you can't take the big dick stereotype and leave the late thing.
Right. You can't accept. Right, exactly. Yeah, Mexican. I'm very hardworking, but
actually,
you know what?
I think it's. Yeah. I think I they're tied
you guys
together.
Are late.
Yeah, it's they're tied together. It's yeah. If you had
to
drag,
if
you
had to in your pants.
Drag that thing around, it'd slow you down.
Yeah, it's like being a comedian with a guitar. It's always around.
The emails do get a little funnier.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
Tell me if you think this is racist. This email mocks African Americans through a story involving child support. And it read, That I didn't think was funny. Here, an African American woman is admitted into a hospital to get an abortion. And she gets the abortion, and 2 weeks later, she receives a check for $5,000. So she calls the hospital and says, "Who's this check from?" And the hospital says, "Crime Stoppers."
Right. Whoa. That's an old joke. That joke is as old.
I was picturing Tom Cruise running in and like, you know, trying to stop. And,
yeah. I must prevent this crime.
From that.
Minority Report.
Future
yeah.
crime.
Yeah.
That's not even the best telling of that joke. Like that's what bothers me about it. That's why I'm offended. Actually, I'm offended because there's a better telling of that joke.
Yeah,
black woman has what do you call a black woman who has 8 abortions?
What?
Crime fighter. That's how I was told that joke.
That's and mean. I'm even pissed.
All right, that's
joke.
Not terrible.
I think
I
like
slightly racist.
No, but I mean, that's the joke that, but they sent this around inter-office in their police department?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there might be a problem with that. I don't know. See, I don't want to be the word police or anything, but I guess this racism thing is pretty big deal.
The thing is.
To people that don't look like me.
The question is you have to ask yourself, if you're making fun of something, do you also then want to go into another dimension and harm or go after and inflict, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's a crossover there. Everybody can admit to making a joke or saying, thinking something funny, because then anybody who laughs at that joke or laughs at that or laughs even the idea of it, because, you know, to me, when you think about a stereotype, a lot of times, I don't know if they're there for a reason, but they're there for a reason. There has to be some sort of, like, it's almost like saying every stereotype that's out there, you have to basically say, you know what, we can't address this anymore in any sense. And, you know, towards making fun, I'm thinking as a comic, whenever
I don't think that's, I think there's a way to talk about everything, race. I think there's a way, and you know what, there's so many great comedians that do it,
right,
and do it well, that there's no question that there's a way to do it. And, you know, just saying racist shit for the sake of playing on a shitty racist stereotype. The problem with most of those jokes is they've just been done over
right.
and over
right.
and over.
Well, that's a big
they should be written up for bad comedy.
Yeah. It's.
Here's the other thing. It's only about 7 or 8 racist emails in a period of over 10 years.
Right.
So it's not like this is like flying out of the computers.
Yeah, it's like they're spending their day doing it.
You know what? I don't give a fuck about what racist emails in that police department.
Well, let me ask
the
you
whole
a question.
Here's
the thing I'm not comfortable with. The fact that even my emails to the people I work with, like, you know, if that's the case, like, I've never been a police officer in a sense like that, but I used to work with a security crew, but even more relations.
Who's been reading my emails?
Yeah.
This is a privacy.
This email's too boring. Ooh, this email's way too scandalous. This email's just right.
This is a bunch of pictures of his dick.
Yeah, let's skip through those.
I mean, this is so innocent. It's a bunch of bare-chested black women dancing in Africa, and the caption says, "Michelle Obama's high school reunion."
That's fucking horrible.
I mean, slap me on the wrist. Well, no one's using the N-word in any of this.
All right, well,
that's the line, really?
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. I mean, what I was going to say earlier is like...
These cops.
When you have a group of friends or people, you don't have a line. Like, you're lying with your close friends or people you work with, or perhaps, and these guys, the guys who share their life with, right? It's firemen, guys, you know, army, anybody that basically goes out and get killed at whatever they do, that's a brotherhood. You know, first of all, that you got to understand that.
So,
you know, anybody,
so 7-Eleven workers. because those people too. They get killed about five times more likely than police on the on the job. And the police are always like, "Oh, we have the most dangerous job in the world." Well, maybe if you didn't have that fucking machine gun and the bulletproof vest and the tank and the fucking gas mask.
Well, dude, you ever see some of these service station guys here in Florida? They're armed.
Oh, I hope so.
No, these guys in Florida don't fucking play around. There's
well, everyone in
shot.
Florida's armed. Yeah. That's another reason this state sucks.
I love this
state. Take a bunch of stupid people, stick them with the old people and the Cubans and give them all guns.
Let me give you a little bit of my Boston experience. I used to go there on a regular basis once or twice a year on a due diligence trip to visit Wellington Management on State Street and companies out there. So
yeah,
I was always going there.
I know it, actually.
All right. Nathaniel Hall, all that kind of stuff. We used to hang out there. Thank you, Hall.
And the rack is gone.
It's gone many years. But every time I've been there, and we used to go hang out in here, and every time I've been there, I've seen a fight break out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is up with people in Boston? Everybody
you know
wants
what?
To fight.
We talk about this. Me and my friends from Boston talk about this all the time. I didn't know until I started traveling a little for doing comedy.
Right.
I didn't know that every place wasn't like that. I thought at 2 a.m. you go and watch the fights. I thought that's how it, because that's what we do in Boston. You go out, you go drinking, whatever.
I swear,
and then
everybody,
at 2 a.m. you go and stand at
start
the,
something
stand
with fucking
out,
something.
Stand out front of any bar and you watch for the three big things, which are a fight, a girl pissing in the street, or a car accident. Once in a while, on one occasion in my entire life, I got the trifecta, and it was
really
bam, car hits a fucking fire hydrant right in front of the bar, blam, and then a guy punches another guy out right in the fucking street, and it was like, wow, and then some girl was pissing, and the piss was leaking down towards that knocked out guy.
It's like a fucking painting.
It was
Did you hear a bell go off?
No, it was a trumpet, like the end of the world. It was awesome.
End of days.
It was awesome.
That is funny shit. But dude, every fucking time, I remember coming back, walking back
it's
to the hotel,
true.
and it's you know, and I'm one of these guys.
Right where you're talking about, I got knocked out. Me and my friend standing out front of a bar.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Just hanging out, fucking, and then out of nowhere, just five dudes just came up and started throwing.
For no reason.
For no reason. Just, you know, they weren't, their night was over. That's how they end the night.
That's what I'm saying. There's like ruffians.
Yeah.
It's like tribes of ruffians. And,
yeah,
and like,
it's like some people will have a little chamomile tea before they go to bed for the evening.
Right.
In Boston, they have to smash somebody's flesh.
Yeah. We gotta kick somebody's ass.
Yeah,
that's fucking. I'm telling you, every part. And my buddy one time, Bob Lenny, you know Bob, my friend from Boston.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm sitting there watching the fight, and he's like, I'm like his girlfriend. He's like, grab my arm. He's like, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, let's get the fuck, like, because he's telling me, because that I end up getting pushed. He knows how I am.
Yeah,
next
very
thing you know,
quickly it can
it escalates. Next thing you, someone bumps into you and punches you in the fucking jaw. Sucker punches. Listen, I've seen somebody get sucker punched. Matter of fact, much where when I picked you up on the beach, right now there's a club there, which is now Rock Bar.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a club there, and I'm standing right out front, or actually just before the walking out, and I'm walking, and somebody I don't know, basically just people leaving ahead of me. The guy's like, you know, something happened. The bouncer guy comes over and just levels the fucking dude. The bouncer was like 50 pounds heavier than this guy. And I go, what the fuck? And I do what am I going to do? I jumped onto the bouncer. I put him in a chokehold, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then I got, you know, held and pulled off and all this kind of shit.
Yeah, no shit.
The fucking dude, nothing, broke his jaw. I ended up going, actually had to go to court and testify what I saw.
No
for
shit.
For this fucking kid. He was wrecked, man. He's like, you know.
Why did the bouncer punch him in the face?
There was something with the guy's girl's hot. Basically, one of these things.
Oh,
like a,
God. Both of them deserve whatever they got.
Anybody who gets jaw knocked because of a fuck. Remember? Yeah. Now, did you as a guy when you were a young guy? Were you one of those guys that had hot girlfriends all the time? They had to deal with that bullshit of guys like
from the outside, like
hyenas.
I had a couple of hot girlfriends, but I was never insecure about them. Like, I had those girls. They wanted me.
Right.
So I wasn't afraid of any of...
No, look at you, Tarzan.
Bigger... and I'm a nothing little scrawny piece of shit nothing guy, but the girls that I dated, I was never afraid. Even as an adult, you know, I've never been afraid of a girl getting stolen from me by another guy. like a guy's gonna see her at a bar and they're gonna wink at each other and what And if she's willing to go with that fucking douchebag, then I don't want her anyway.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
That was one I used to say to myself. I'm like, look, if, and my older brother's there. He's like, dude, if she fucking leaves, you know, what are you worried about, you know? But that was funny because my brothers are always those kind of guys that could never leave a chick. Like, bad, like they can never break up. And I would admit, like, all the girls I went through, I would always be the one getting broken up with. Like, I'd fuck up. Like, I'd get to the point I fucked up, and they'd be like, I'm leaving you. I'm like, thanks. Thanks for handling it for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Not a good, you know, again, asshole.
I would force the fight. I would, you know.
Yeah. Honey, why don't you ask me how I feel right now? Really? Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm here with Lenny, somehow. Oh, yeah. And, of course, guest in the studio, Tom Dustin.
I'm talking too much.
By the way, he's going to be in the Orlando Improv Thursday night through Saturday, right?
Thursday through Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday.
I think with Ari Spears. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him about some of these racist emails.
Yeah. He loves the racist.
He'd want to hear a little about that.
I think I have. I've said the N-word in front of Ari Spears a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. He
doesn't care for it.
Yeah. Do you think maybe a guy who, let's say, you're a thinner guy, you know what I mean? Versus, let's say, if I said, like a fucking Guido looking dude, that he'd say, you know what? He might, you know, maybe depending on the messenger, it might have.
You know what? I actually have taken I've taken solace in the fact that I've always been not worth punching. You know, like I'm so paper thin that everyone's just like, oh, don't ruin it. Like, so I have gotten away with saying a lot of shit that I should have had my fucking head caved
in.
That's
funny.
Yeah.
That's a funny perspective. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of the show after this.
Can we smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, let's do it.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and Lenny bids you adieu, him and his shitty Skype line connection. Got to get to the bottom of that fucking thing. You know, hey.
I miss him already.
Yeah. Lenny's one of those, you know.
Is he coming out to the show last night?
I believe he may have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, Lenny's great. And, you know, Lenny's one of these guys when I was in comedy, he's like the first guy, like started working together and, you know, we started writing, you know, just, you know, hanging out. It's just, dude, he's amazing. You know, it's just one of those deliveries when he's on stage. You know, you just,
yeah, I could tell just from talking to him.
Right, there's some comics that it's not even what, it's almost like the material is just so simple.
Yeah, yeah.
But with their delivery and the way they're doing it, you're so intrigued. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know many examples of that.
I mean, that's as a comic, that's what I'm working for. That's, to me, I want to, you know what I mean? I'm not this guy that, you know, I've seen new comics that have been out there that are like this, you know, pattern, like what they call a stream of thought, you know, it's an orchestral of type thing, and you know, and I don't get it, but I'm different, you know, and that's not really, you know, but, and then you see the, you know, the traditional comics that just, you know, set up, you know what I mean, and just go through it. Do you have a certain style that you stick to? Do you feel is it even stupid? It's like Bruce Lee. It's formless, you know.
It's formless. There's room for everybody, right. I think. You know, everyone does what they think is right, and I don't know what is right. If I knew anything,
right.
I'd be sitting
with me right now.
Yeah, I don't think I would have had you pick me up on the beach today with my fucking roller bag.
Now, you travel light. You know, for a guy who's going to be away from home for 4 days, 5 days or something like that.
Oh, dude, that's what I'd bring if I was going for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what do I need? A pair of jeans, a couple of shirts. Right. I do laundry halfway through.
And by the way, you mentioned that. I thought it was funny because that's one thing I've realized now, being that part of my career, where I've learned that in the last, I've been like, I got to bring laundry detergent, a little thing of laundry detergent,
yeah,
and I got to go do laundry because I'm not going to bring a fucking suitcase you know, that to have to check everywhere. You rather just that. I mean, it's really smart.
And I don't check anything ever. Yeah. I haven't checked a bag in since the 80s.
I would love to be able to do it like a week or 2 weeks away with like a duffel bag of shit. Unless you're selling merch. Now, obviously, you're not selling merch.
Well, when I do sell merch, I have a ship directly
there
to
you
the
go.
Club.
There you go, thinking. What do you sell on, what's your product?
Herlihy's wallet.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Hurley, dude, the fucking, the legend when it comes to merch.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. The guy, I mean, I remember, you know, him and I were friends a long time.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I love Mike. And then for some reason, he wanted to headline our room. And, you know, I basically had a lineup of people. In all due respect, like Vaught, you know, these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I had people that from all over that I'm trying to set up them, and I'm like, I can't, but I, if you're going to be around that loop, I'll at least feature and I'll pay you good. And I was going to pay him like 120, whatever.
Better
I known him,
feature.
He's my friend.
Yeah,
I was going to give him like $50 extra to feature, just come. And I don't know what happened and unfriended me, everything, dude. I was like, what the, even like Pedro was surprised, he knows all the
really?
Story. Yeah, and I was like, dude, I don't know what the
I
fuck,
think he
man.
He can be a little. Emotional,
yeah.
He goes off the handle.
Now
sometimes.
He has two kids. He's got two boys now.
Now he does. Yeah, yeah.
So the he's I imagine I've never been a father. I have no children.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I don't have that kind of I don't know what you'd call it. But I was a
seed.
Little
seed.
But see the one of the things about being a comedian, one thing, and then booking a venue and running something like it's definitely affected. Like me in the local scene with the younger comics that are starting out.
Yeah, that's always a thing. You know, yeah. I always imagined if I was to be, and I've booked rooms and I've done
right.
that for over the years. But if I was ever to do it on a bigger level, I would always want to do it through a straw, through someone else.
Right.
Oh, no, I have nothing to do with the bookings. You got to talk to Sammy Lee and just have a fucking fake email address for
right.
Sammy Lee. And it's you, but you can say no to people
right.
through him.
Like sometimes people ask me, who's my agent? I say, Al. Almeida. Yeah, some guy. Somewhere
I say the same thing, but with Kaida.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you're right. Yeah, and that's a genius idea. It's like almost like an alias. I have a professional career.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes people said your stage name
especially
shouldn't be.
If you're booking a room, you just make it sound like, hey, did you hear this guy fucking Stan? He's booking a room, blah, blah, blah. He's a buddy
right.
of mine. And no one ever has to meet him or see
right.
him, blah, blah, blah.
He's like the voice on Charlie's Angels.
I used to and still am the commissioner of the Boston Comedy Softball League.
Oh, yeah.
It's there's six comedy clubs in Boston, and they all sponsor teams.
Right.
So there's 80 comedians that play in the league. But there's more than 80 that want to play in the league.
Right. I would imagine.
And I don't want to say no to anyone.
Right.
So I used to do it through a straw. I'd do it just like that.
Secret's out.
Yeah. No, you got to talk to fucking Ben or make
right.
up a fucking name. And then, you know, you get a Gmail address with Ben at Gmail and fucking have him say no.
Yeah, but I think now that I've been doing it so long, like if I try to attempt to say someone, like, and all due honesty.
Well, you're going to have to move to Denver and change your name
right.
in
that's
order for this to work.
That's not a bad spot to go to.
Good comedy scene.
Yeah.
Great comedy.
Yeah. Local comic from South Florida moved there. Was an age. When it comes, you ever do that? You're like, this is like the MC fuck up. You know the person's name, but then you're just about to say
yeah,
it, and you're like, the Rumpel fucking Stiltskin. I forgot the fucking guy's name. And you're
I've
a
done
dick.
That.
Yeah.
Give it up for this guy.
He's from my. Oh my god, he's so fucking. He plays a guitar. He's a very funny guy to Miami. He's been up there now. Another local comic. Now I'm gonna blank on his. Of course. See,
you could have saved all this and just been like, a couple local comics moved there.
Yeah, let's go back to a couple local guys up there, and they
oh,
love
no
the
shit.
Scene.
What
up
are
there.
Their names?
asshole. It'll. Anyway, but they love it there. I mean,
yeah.
You gotta love being in Denver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's liberal. You can smoke the weed there.
Now let's talk about this legalization. You and I talked a little bit earlier today that Florida dropped the fucking ball. I mean, we don't know.
It's not just Florida, but I mean, this place, like in Oklahoma or Kansas, you can get 10 years in prison.
Right. It's like the complete different. I mean, it's like the dark age.
Imagine going to 10 years in prison
right.
for what I do every day in my living room.
You know, I have a philosophy. The world is getting crazier. Like, you know what I mean? Think about
it's getting worse.
Think about how things have escalated in our news. Like, you know, remember that one of the first traumatic stories I could think back, I don't know how it was, within the last 7 to 10 years. Was the woman who drowned all her boys in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that woman? She was.
Yeah, there's been a couple of them women.
Right.
One did it in the car.
One drove
them
into
the
lake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the son's like, what are we doing? You know.
Yeah. So what's your point?
But my point is, like, you start seeing these moments where people just completely fucking lose it.
Yeah, but that kind of thing isn't new.
Right.
None of that is new. Guys going crazy and running into a supermarket and shooting people. None of that is new. There's always been crazies that fly off the handle and they kill a bunch of people or try to kill a bunch of people. But now we got fucking video of it, and it's happening right now in front of your eyes. And the media sensationalizes, and then the politicians and the government, they use it as a fear to control the rest of us. So now the police need machine guns because some guy walked into a school and shot somebody with them. And now they need a tank, and now they need a fucking bulletproof vest, and you know, warrantless searches.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to make a little bit of an analogy for us based on a conversation you and I had on a totally different subject. Right, like we're talking about the possums, right? Like in Boston.
Now we're back.
In Boston, your possums don't fucking play dead.
My possums don't play possum.
They just get more pissed.
Yeah, I think it's just because they're city possums, and they're like dead will get me hit by a car.
Because they've learned, they've developed some sort of thicker skin. They've learned this coping mechanism, this Darwinian ability.
They just immediately go to nasty.
Right. My dog tore one up, and the thing just laid there. My dog took a shit about 10 yards away and came back to me. And the thing was like, is he gone?
It just petrified, like it was dead?
Yeah, it just lays there.
That's weird.
And then I told you, I'm going to tell it again, might as well.
You brought it into your...
Yeah, I had the first time this happened, my dog, this Jack Russell, fucking attacked this big-ass possum. And I'm out there with my aluminum pool stick, you know, for the cleaning the pool, the fucking skimmer thing. I'm out there with that trying to poke the fucking thing away. The German Shepherd wasn't blind time, was tacking it from the rear. The Jack Russell's jumping at it the front. They're fucking, you know, beating the fuck out of this poor thing. And the player grabbed it, flipped it, the little dog, and then the big dog, the German Shepherd, grabbed it, flipped it, and the fucking thing was, and I saw blood. That's all I saw. And I go, holy shit, you know, the dogs, you know, the fucking scared. Get the fuck away, because I'm worried about my dogs getting bit.
You know, rabies or whatever.
Whatever. And so the dog finally get the dogs away. Come back out there, the possum, big ass fucking thing. It's about 5-6. It's just sitting there, like, you know, like done. I'm like, and I picked it up by its, you know, I'm like looking at him just there. And I picked him up by his fucking tail, and I thought for some reason it would be a good idea to walk him. Now for our listeners, through the backyard, across my pool, into the sliding glass doors where my bedroom is.
Into your home.
Into my home. And I wanted to show my wife what happened. Hey, honey, guess what? My wife is laying there in bed, probably playing poker online. And I go, honey, look, the dog just fucking killed this fucking thing. And in the middle of me saying that, the possum goes. I'm like,
did you throw it?
Right onto my wife. You fucking do it. And she made a fucking possum fucking Parmesan. But no, I actually, you know, I manned up, dude. I'm a man. I took the fucking, held the fucking thing, ran out the front. You know, I didn't really run. Because if I would have ran, it would have bit me. I just kind of held him at a distance and just looked at him all calm. Got out to the front and, you know, threw him to the fucking floor. Right. Hard. Motherfucker.
I don't like those fucking things.
Dude, they're scary as fuck. Teeth. Yeah. You know, they walk along that fence.
They look like giant teethy rats. You know what they look like? They look like the oversized rats from Princess Bride.
The first time I ever saw a possum in my backyard,
R-O-2-U-S.
I thought that's what it was. I came in and told my brother, I just saw the biggest fucking rat. You know, look like a, you know. He's like, what did it look like? And he's like, all right, and we're out there looking at it. I thought it was a fucking rat.
Yeah.
But the funnier animals here, we used to play soccer in these parks and stuff. But they're the armadillos.
I've seen them. Yeah, yeah.
They look like miniature rhinoceroses, right? They look something Skeletor would fucking ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And these things, by the way, they're just finding out that these armadillos in Florida, they are carrying. Leprosy.
No shit.
There's an alarming rate of leprosy in South Florida in the Daytona area.
From people messing with armadillos?
Yeah. Hey, it makes a good hat. Catch that armadillo. What, he scratch you?
You know, that's just the world working itself out.
You would think that leprosy would be... Right, didn't you remember the bad... The leprosy cans, shit falls off and stuff? I mean, isn't that leprosy?
Yeah, your fingers and shit. Your skin is fucking...
So you're a kind of guy, you don't give a fuck about politics. You're not a big guy in any of this shit.
Not really.
When you wake up in the morning, what is the 1, 2, 3 thing you think of all the time? You think this is going to be easy? You think this is going to be just some, hey, let's fucking hang out and bullshit?
I usually...
Top 3 things, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, you're not married.
No, I'm not married.
You don't have a girlfriend, steady girlfriend?
No. Right. I don't have a marriage. Yeah, I got nothing. You know what? Yep. You just asking me this question made me just think, holy fuck.
I better come up with answers.
I don't have one thing. You asked me for three.
Now you have a house or place, a home?
I have an apartment that okay. I share with another comic.
You have a car? Do you have to worry about, you know?
I have a car, but due to my arrest last year in Florida, I'm not able to drive it.
Yeah, it's a big paperweight.
Yeah.
Just sitting somewhere. You got to pay for parking where you live.
It's under 14 feet of snow currently.
Yeah. Dude, that I can't even fathom that. You know what I mean?
No one can. No one understands what it's really like. It's the worst fucking like you listen to some people, "Oh, it must be like a winter wonderland." Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You don't own a shovel.
Let's make a snowman. No, I don't fucking...
I live in a place where forced manual labor falls from the sky.
And I mentioned, like, I have people do the yard. The only thing I do at this house is the pool. That is the only thing that, you know, when I was a young man, I had three older brothers. But it was funny, when the yard needed to be cut, you know, everybody was smart enough to fucking get up earlier than me on that Sunday, and I'd be sitting there, all my brothers would have to leave the house. And I'd be sitting there going, "Oh, I got to cut the yard." But I always had a good excuse. I had allergies.
Did you have a ride on mower?
Nah, we had a smaller place than this little, you know, little
push job,
little pusher, you know. And of course, my parents, we didn't have money. It wasn't one that would just put it down, it rolls for you. It was one that you had to fucking push.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nothing worse than having to cut the yard when it's like a foot high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like fucking start the fucking thing again. It's just crazy. You a baseball fan? What's your sporting fan?
I'm the one guy from Boston that does not give a shit about any of the teams.
Yeah. You're old Boston guy.
The Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots, the whatever.
See, that's why you avoid fights. I think a lot of fights come in that sporting craze that Bostonians have.
That's true.
You know?
No fucking, no mob. Whatever. You know, I've never given a shit. And being that I've done comedy for the last decade in Boston, I have grown to resent sporting events even more because nothing cancels a comedy show faster than a Red Sox Yankees game.
Right. It's terrible. You get no one's coming to the show.
Yeah. Say you want to record your CD this weekend and you're doing it at a
big
club.
Big moment.
And then you realize late, oh, fuck, the Red Sox are playing, or the Patriots are playing the Jets or whatever the fuck it is. And then cancel your show because no one's coming.
No one's going to come. In a big town like that, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like even like in, you know, down here, I remember I used to run a room on Sundays at a place called Dublin, a real nice Irish bar in the middle of Boca Raton. Right. Matter of fact, mentioned to Pedro because years ago, when I first started doing that room, I wanted him to perform there, and it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth him to come down. So I was glad that he got to come out and join us at Tavolino's. But it was a great room. But it was a Sunday. There was like 3 months straight. We had the place packed, standing room only with comics. Just fucking, you know, it was becoming like, this is awesome.
You're right.
An Irish bar with a big, nice stage that bands, great venue. I mean, once in a while, the lights were set for rock and roll, and you'd be going through a blinking fucking rainbow of light, whatever. But, you know, it was an Irish bar. You're doing comedy. This is, and to me, I was only a few years in. I'm like, this is great, you know. And then football season on Sunday. You know, fucking there goes the party. Done. Eight people at the show.
Yep.
Just sucks.
But, well, imagine that times five championship teams.
Yes.
Like every year.
It's got
Celtics, Red Sox, they're all in the playoffs.
Don't fucking rub it in.
Every fucking year. Dude, they sell Super Bowl rings at yard sales.
You know,
my maid wears them on her toes.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, It's amazing. In Florida, yard sales, you find like maybe an old Coca-Cola cup.
No, you can buy
your Boston fucking championship
Super
ring.
Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, with the finger still in it. Oh, dude, I'm a Miami Heat. You know, my athletic background, I played collegiate soccer. I was a soccer, believe it or not, and then a professional kickboxer. So then but the Miami Heat are my team. I mean, I love watching basketball. I was pre-Shaq. I'm not just one of those guys that came around when LeBron was here.
I loved basketball from 1984 to 1988.
Yeah. You think?
Bye, Larry.
Oh man, what a fucking play! I growing up watching that, you know, him and you know, Magic and that kind of shit, dude. That was, I can't remember who it was. They recently said to me that he sucked in today's terms. Like if in his prime, Larry Bird would be like 10 times better than Nowinski, whatever his name. Dirk.
These are the exact conversations I managed to avoid by not giving a fuck.
Right. It helps.
What?
Right?
Larry Bird would suck today. What? I'll fight you over that. But what about the other guy? The guy?
Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. That's the big matchup as well.
Jesus versus Satan.
Well, that's still going on. That's still... that one, I don't know. Based on the
I
way
I think it should be other magical characters like Jesus versus Allah.
So you're not a religious man? You're an atheist?
No. I think religion is the cause of every major problem we have in the world.
Well, again, if the police are causing the violence, you have to ask yourself, the chicken or the egg, which one came first? You know, I have a vision. I think that, it's basically it's a way to make answers for shit, right?
People, of course.
But there had to be something. You got to remember, it's something that's sustained time.
Yeah.
In a sense, the true religion. It's not like a Baptist, Methodist, you know.
And I think they were all based on good messages for the most part. Don't hurt your neighbor. Don't fuck his wife. Don't steal. Don't kill.
You can't fuck somebody's wife?
It's stuff like that. I don't know. I don't read the fucking Bible. And I would assume that the Arab one, it says essentially the same shit. Yeah. Don't hurt anyone unless you're going to cut their fucking head off.
Yeah. There seems to be a different interpretation amongst the Muslims in the world, right? There's others that say, well, you know, if it's for the purpose, but there's others that are saying...
I'm never really sure. Are they what are they mad? Like, if we all decided to be Muslim, would they be not mad at us anymore?
No, they would never be accepted. I mean... this extremism that's going on, I think this is the bigger picture. Can I spin this in a way like more of it, like like a
if they're trying to convert us to Muslim, yelling Allah Akbar and then blowing shit up is not a good way to, because I think Allah Akbar means God is great.
Right. And now I'm gone. And God then, created this earth for me to be gone from it. I mean, you don't believe in an afterlife.
I want to yell Applebee's Akbar. Applebee's is great.
Applebee's, beef and cheddar.
And then blow that place up because it sucks.
Oh, my God.
Wait. So what were we talking about before? I'm sorry. Right. I cut you off.
I know. But actually, now you're talking about food and I found an interest.
Oops.
Isn't like Applebee's like the what Bannigan's used to be? Like, well,
Applebee's is the worst of the chain restaurants. They have a microwave in the back and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. When you order something, when you go to eat anything fried, it peels off. It's just it's a nightmare.
It is just the worst. Bad service, bad food.
But sometimes, what are you going to do when you travel, right?
You go to Ruby Tuesday. Yeah. Go to any of the other ones. Applebee's is the bottom of the barrel as far as chain sit down restaurants.
Now, I think that's
Chili's Fridays, fucking Ruby Tuesdays.
I think that's a Darden company. Like the conglomerate is Darden. I believe. Well, you know, just making this again a little smart again, a little Wall Street, a little Wake Up Late Dougie.
Well, buy me 10,000 shares of Darden.
Yeah, right now. Get to the fucking phone. I don't know. But anyway, where are we going to go with this? So what's next, man? You're going to be at the Improv.
I'm doing the Improv here last Thursday through, I don't know when this airs.
It's tonight. You're going to be there in Orlando tonight. Through Sunday, potentially with Ariel's...
Aries Spears from Mad TV, and from Jerry Maguire.
Absolutely, funny dude. And ever work with somebody? You don't have to mention names, but you headline, you feature, depending on the venue.
Yeah.
It's funny. And again, what I mentioned about Mike, my friend. You know, I have a heart. One, I'm a good friend with a guy. Number two, if I want to be on a show, like I was talking about the local improvs, I'm gladly take my dues and MC the weekends. Because to me, I would just say, look, I get to do 10 to 15 minutes as a host, work on those skills, develop my act, whatever the fuck. Because I'm thinking, hey, if I'm going to do corporate comedy, which is a big thing I'm building my act on, so I can make $10,000, write a book, and then make $10,000 every time I do a show.
Right.
That's not a bad payday, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't get to say fuck a lot.
Well, I'll say,
I'm out.
What? I can't say fuck? It's amazing.
You can keep your money.
I had recently a comic that's been doing comedy for less than a year. I actually got hired to do a corporate event. And I was like, you sure it's a corporation and not an organization? Like a few people from Amway get together and say, hey, want this guy to come and give us a speech? You know what I'm saying?
And he was like, no, it's Coca-Cola.
Yes. I'm getting paid 15 grand. Suck my dick, fuckface. I don't know. I was going to look at this story. A-Rod comes back. I'm a Yankee fan because I was born in Queens. And a lot of friends still there. Go back a lot to New York. A-Rod cheated. Finally came out. Denied it to the fucking end. Eddie Murphy did. It wasn't me. Right?
What did he cheat? How did he cheat?
He was accused of taking steroids. right?
Aren't they all taking steroids? Why is it even a big deal?
Well, here's what we really want to talk about. Since you're not a sports guy,
they should mandate it.
The idea is cheating. Like, if I'll put it in a different perspective, away from sports. If to me, if an athlete is using steroids and things of that nature, and they're advancing their numbers, they're now the guy who's not going to make that moral negative decision, he's got to compete with that, right? So put this in an analogy. Like, let's say a comic who's cheating by stealing bits. Or, you know, stealing acts, and he's getting out there and killing with everybody else's shit. He's moving forward. I look at it as the same thing. It's somebody that's cheating. They're not really, you know.
I don't look at it as the same as stealing. I think the reason everyone's upset is because he's taking a supposed easy way to increase his numbers or be whatever. Taking steroids is the easy way versus just working out on your own.
Now, you ever take steroids, Tom?
No, I would, though.
Yeah?
I would. At one point, I was going to, but then I was like, well, who cares?
Right.
Who fucking you made cares? It
to, now, I
what
did.
Am I trying to win a long jump?
I'm going for the gold.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I go to Walgreens. I don't. Exactly. I don't need steroids to go to Walgreens.
You don't have to hold my door. I'll get there.
Ping. But no, I think they should mandate it. Make all of them have. If you want to be a major league baseball player, you have to take steroids.
It has to be. They have to control it like they would anything. Like, in other words, all like the team doctors, the guy that wraps your ankle also gives you a shot in your ass. You know, like juices you up, gets you all ready for the competition.
What does A-Rod get for a check? He gets hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, big
contract. Well, let his fucking body go to shit and his brain turn to shit early,
right?
Because that's the trade-off.
Right.
So fill him with steroids and hit a home run from fucking Yankee Stadium into
so you don't give a shit.
Mets Stadium.
You don't care.
No, I think it would be awesome if they all did steroids. It would be awesome.
Yeah, but then
you'd have fucking pitchers hitting grand slams.
Exactly. He just pitched a no-hitter, and he fucking...
Yeah.
And four fucking grand slams.
Yeah. One of them lands in, you know...
Now, do you think, like, you look at... well, I want to talk... Do you think that things evolve? I'll use this in the area of, like, sexuality. Like, you know, when we're... how old are you, more or less?
39.
Okay. So, every generation... We basically have, a decade between us. But every generation, like, when I was in middle school, high school... There was a few chicks that, you know what I mean? You know, now, if you look at what kids are doing in middle school, you know, they're sexting, they're doing video, chat, I mean, and I mentioned this earlier, the millennials, most chicks in their 20s, early 30s, let's say, maybe 20s, they all learned about sex by watching porn.
Yeah, right? What?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not like... When you were, maybe you had your dad had a magazine under the bed. Oh, this is awesome, right? Yeah. Or you had one of the fucking film projectors.
I had the same magazine for like 2 or
exactly.
3 years. It was weather worn because I couldn't keep it in my house. I hid it under a tree in the backyard. It was fucking, the pages were wrinkled and shitty and wet.
How funny is that? I mean, it turns into like a fucking Chinese lantern because you had the pages open.
I would kill to have that magazine again.
Yeah. To this day, I can still remember the photo layout in the Hustler.
That's what I'm thinking.
It was a Hustler magazine, and it was my first real look at lesbians, and they were dressed like they were from the island of Lesbos.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but if they were in that magazine, likely they weren't lesbians.
Yes,
they were just doing it for the shoot.
Well, and for my imagination, they were fucking. I could still
my
picture
first lesbian. Now, a real lesbian is Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, you know, I don't want to picture that. I picture that when I'm about to explode. Oh, baseball. Rosie O'Donnell, baseball. Rosie O'Donnell, baseball.
Now I'm thinking of a league of their own for whatever reason.
Exactly. There's no crying while you're trying to keep from coming. That's fucking crazy. But do you ever do many festivals? Is that a big part in Boston? At the big Boston Comedy Festival?
I do the Boston Comedy Festival every year. I usually don't enter the contest part of it. I usually perform on some of the theme shows. I run the dirty show usually and do some other activities with the festival. I don't like to enter the contest. The last contest thing I entered was 3 or 4 years ago. I went up to Toronto. They have this thing called the Yuck Yucks Great Canadian Laugh Off for $25,000.
Nice.
So I won that.
Nice.
I won 25 grand. I was the first American in history to ever win it because it's the Great Canadian Laugh-Off, and it's real biased. And
right.
They don't even make a secret of it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I got lucky the year I was there.
Fucking huge.
I won 25 grand Canadian. And
what's that, like about 50 bucks?
I bought this shirt.
And they gave me the flip-flops.
Yeah. so yeah, I won the thing, and but the funny part about it was they changed the rules after the right after I won it. So now no Americans can ever enter again.
Oh, really?
So I'm the first and only ever, and will always be
now,
the only.
Now, the composition of it, how many, like, was it 50-50 U.S., mostly Canadian? How was it?
It was almost all Canadian. Okay. But then there was some, like, international. Like, there was a guy from South Africa. There was three guys from England. There was a guy from Australia.
Yeah. Oh, he's acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at the SLO Comedy Festival. There's a few guys from a girl, a couple of girls, a couple of dudes. Guy who actually won the best, was in the best of the fest, who hosted. His name was Lars, tall dude.
I know him.
I don't have his card. I have his card.
He was in my contest.
Oh yeah, he was in that one.
Lars, fucking
tall dude.
I know the dude. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think I owe him $100 actually.
Oh, okay.
Because he I remember the night of his semifinal, he lost, and he was getting in a cab to leave, and I was like, hey, if I win the whole thing, I'll send you $100.
Oh, yeah?
And he was like, all right, man, and then I won the whole thing.
That's nice of you to admit that again, because now there's proof.
Yeah, well, we're going to edit this, right?
Give me $100.
What's Lars's name? Shit.
Yeah, he hosted the show, did a great job.
Yeah, he's a good call.
The Best of the Fest performed in this theater. It's probably seats about 900. There's probably about 800 people in there. And I was like, fuck, this is awesome to be able to perform. What's like the biggest venue most people you've performed in front of?
I've done like 2,000 is probably the biggest. It was in New Hampshire. I was opening for the cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Drew Carey and those guys?
No, it was the shitty cast. It was Colin Mockery and not shitty cast, but...
Well, yeah. You know, not as good.
No, they were all great.
Yeah.
But so that was that. And then there's a theater in Boston that seats like 1,200. I do that quite
big challenge. The big challenge of a room like that has got to be pace, right? Getting your pace. There's so many people.
Yeah. I think you just slow down a little. Yeah. I don't know. I don't change much ever. Yeah. I'm a club act. I put me in a comedy club. I'm at home.
Rind them up and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you
just
go.
Just fucking sit them upright and face them at me.
I know. At me, that's I'm trying to find that. You know what I mean? There's moments like, well, this really feels comfortable. This feels good. This works better. It seems like I'm like shooting at the fucking target right now. Just coming around the edges, trying to find it.
Like I said, I don't know. I still don't know. I've been doing this a long time, and I still don't know.
You know, that was in, I don't know how much of a philosophy background, but that's what Socrates said in the story of piety. You know, people just say, people just say, somebody says, these people are going to the courts where a family member killed somebody else in the family. And the guy said, he committed an unpious act, which piety means good and all this shit. So Socrates is a gadfly. You know, he's the guy that's a pain in the ass. Like, what do you mean by pious? Well, you know, what all the gods want, whatever the gods wanted, it's pious. Well, wouldn't you say that many gods in the past have argued amongst many things? There's always disagreement amongst the gods. Yes, you're right. Well, therefore, your definition cannot be that of piety. What would be piety? What would be pious? Drives the guy fucking nuts. You know, but Socrates...
And then the guy kills himself.
No, the guy, yeah.
That guy was Richard Jenny.
Yeah.
I keep bringing it back.
It's a great callback. So he, the idea is that in the world... Like, especially in this day and age, whether it's police brutality, whether it's racism, whether it's all kinds of bullshit that's happening around us, you know, the fear of being hurt, the anger, whatever, all this shit that's happening, nobody really understands what the real meaning of anything is. Like, you ask somebody, what would make you happy? Like, I have no fucking idea.
But I think most people born with a sense of right and wrong, and, I don't know.
Well, listen... We can answer that here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, because that's all we have time for today.
Oh.
By the way, don't forget to catch Tom Dustin at the Orlando Improv Thursday through Sunday.
I tell funny jokes, not like on this podcast I just babble on.
Yeah,
I'm
nobody got paid
tired.
For this appearance, so you know, please understand that how it goes. What am I doing? I'm going to be in Laugh-In Comedy Cafe on Sunday in Fort Myers doing a little guest spot. Headliner's Rich Voss. I'll be at Cabaret in South Beach on Monday headlining the room along with Perry Sack. His brother Harry couldn't make it. And for more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Well, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at WakeUpDougie. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous. Don't forget to subscribe to all our podcasts, over 320 episodes, at WakeUpLateWithDougieShow.podbean.com.
And you're just getting Dustin now?
Yes. Get in line. Anyway, thanks again for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot.
Bye.